First, I apologize about the blatant spelling mistake in the title. The word is unconventional. Missing a couple letters, those who noticed it didn't notice it. I'm not sure what unconventional means, but unconventional methods of puruvu. I'm happy no one noticed it, though. I'm actually not so happy. You guys should notice that. So let's discuss a little bit about unconventional methods of puruvu. Just in terms of scheduling, I mentioned accidentally that this week I won't be here. Obviously, I am here this morning. Next week, I will not be here, so we'll be on break next week. But let's discuss this topic, which is very relevant for those who have infertility issues, those who are too old to have children, whatever the case might be, and just for understanding the interesting mitzvah of puruvu and various applications beyond what one would have typically thought. Now, of course, we know the typical case of a husband and wife having children, there's a mitzvah puruvu. This is machlokes, whether one's mekayemit, Beis Shammai says having two sons, one gets a mitzvah. Beis Hillel says a son and a daughter is a mitzvah. And we pass like Beis Hillel, a boy and a girl is a mitzvah of puruvu. But then there becomes a whole interesting discussion about 7-8 different examples, different ways that a person may be able to mekayem puruvu in different methods than the typical one. IVF is an example, adoption. So we'll go through each of these now and discuss the scope of the mitzvah of puruvu. So number one, right in the beginning, the very first sif of all of Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer. Right in the bottom of there, those who want to look inside, it's the Chachma Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger may have been the of amongst all the great mechabrim we have in all of Jewish history, he possibly has written the most svarim that we know of, Rav Shlomo Kluger. And he writes right there in that first halacha in all of Eben Ezer, number one, I was unsure. The person adopts a child, whether it be a boy or a girl. The person adopts a child. Is that a fulfillment of the mitzvah of puruvu? What's it based on? So he quotes the famous statement Chazal, Kevin Damri Chazal, Hamagadol Yasum V'Yisoma B'Soch Beso. A person who raises a orphan in his home, ma'ala lava kasav ki'ilu yalda. The Torah considers it as if he gave birth to such a child. So raising a yasom or yasoma, it's like having a child as if you gave birth to such a child. So that's the statement. So what's the question? So he goes on to explain, it's dependent on in general. What does the word ki'ilu mean? Ki'ilu. Harry Weimer mentions the other day in ki'ilu. Was that in the video that went viral? Yeah. Right, ki'ilu, right. So ki'ilu, so he was actually referring to this Rav Shlomo Kluger here. So the kilu is machlokas drish and taz in a different place. When the Gemara tells us kilu, is that mamish as if you're fulfilling the mitzvah of raising a child, raising a orphan is like your puruvu? Or kilu is like, it's a very nice thing. It's not getting the mitzvah, you still have an obligation to have children, but it's a nice thing. It's almost as if you fulfill the mitzvah, but it's not really fulfilling the mitzvah. So he says that's what the machlokas is, whether or not one is mekayem the mitzvah of puruvu by raising orphans. Now this comes up, a similar phrase is used in a different context. If you look at number two, the Gemara Sanhedrin, we discussed this last week as well, that Amar Reish Lakish says, Kol ha-melamed es ben chaveiro Torah, one who teaches his friend's child Torah, your Rebbe, you have Talmidim, even if you're not a Rebbe, you just teach your children, your friend's children. The Torah says, Ma'la levakasuv kilu asahu. The Torah considers it as if you made that child, as if you created him. How do we know? It says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Shenemar, V'sanefesh asher asu b'charon. The nefesh that Avram and Sarah made in Haran. What do you mean they made? They didn't have any children. It was the people that they taught Torah, as you brought in last week, that if you're Makari of a person, Rashi says, if you're Makari of a person, Tachas Kanfei Ashchina, you're Makari of them, you teach them Torah, it's considered as if you gave birth to them, as if you raised them, they're your children. So the same question would be relevant here. What does the word ki'ilu mean? When the Torah says you're raising, you're teaching a ben chaver Torah, it's ki'ilu, like you aso, is that mamish as if you're considered as if it's a child of yours? Or no, it's a very nice thing, but you don't get the mitzvah of purvu. So these are two examples of how to use the word ki'ilu. Now, the real truth is, beyond the understanding of the word ki'ilu, it seems like the understanding of these phrases depends on the general understanding of ki'ilu, ranakil, of the chakira of puruvu. There's a big machlokas we showed in Achronim how to understand the nature of puruvu. those who want to look into this Minchas Chinuch, the very first mitzvah is Peruvu. He talks about the nature of Peruvu. What does that mean? So we know in general, when it comes to Melachah Shabbos, is a very, very great model for this. When it comes to Melachah Shabbos, how do you define the Melachah? Pick any Melachah you want. Is a Melachah about the pu'ula, the action that you're doing? Or is the pu'ula about what you are creating, the totsah? Pu'ula versus totsah. So for example, is writing about the act of writing? Or is it about me creating something new? So let's say I write the letters Aleph Aleph, which has no meaning. So I did a ksiva, I wrote something, but in terms of the totsah, the result, there's no meaning to the letters Aleph Aleph. Or let's say I take a seed. We know there's a malacha on Shabbos of Zoreya. You can't plant, you can't put a seed in the ground, you can't water. So let's say I take a seed, I put it in the ground, but then I take it right out. Nothing has been accomplished. So there was a pu'ula. There was an action of being Zoreya something, putting a seed in the ground, but nothing was accomplished. Nothing can be accomplished because I removed the seed before it took root. So there's a big machlokas between the Rashash, this is Gemara Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel, Amin Aleph, the famous Mishnah there in Ayin Gimel. Rashash there has a machlokas with the Minchas Chinuch, whether Zoreya is about putting it in the ground, or whether it's about letting it take root. He compares this to the Melacha of Bishul. Let's say I open up my oven. I put a piece of meat in the oven, but then I take it out right away. Was that a Melacha on Shabbos? Well, if it's about the pu'ula, the action, placing it in the oven would be the pu'ula. But if it's about the totsah, then you have to wait for it to actually cook. So that's a machlokas, pu'ula versus totsah. So the Minchas Chinuch has a long discussion in the many, many application of this chakira when it comes to the mitzvah peruvu. Now he takes the unlikely approach. If I were to ask any of you, what would you think the mitzvah peruvu would be? Would it be the pu'ula, the ma'isa tashmish, or would it be the totsah of having children? What would any of you say? Totsah, having children. But the Minchas Chinuch is mechadesh, that he thinks it's actually the pu'ula. A person has to do his hishtalus, the rest is up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the definition of the mitzvah peruvu is the pu'ula, the action alone, and that's the mitzvah. What happens after that? It's up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Well, many, many achronim of Moshe Feinstein among them say no, it's about having children, raising children, keeping them alive. So that's a big machlokas in the achronim, and even it seems to have some discussions in the Rishonim as well. So if that's the case, this chakir is true, the pu'ula versus the totsah, so then it's very possible to say that's what the machlokas here is, whether or not raising someone else's child, and whether it be yasom or yasoma, or whether it's teaching them Torah. If it's about the totsah, so I helped raise this child as a frum boy, I brought him onto the path of Torah, the totsah is there, even though the pula wasn't there. But if it's about the pula, about a certain ma'isa tashmish, so then that obviously can't take place if you're raising someone else's children, teaching someone else's child. Yeah, Justin.
From this whole Bishama, you would see the tzah, no? Saying my focus is over whether it's one boy, two boys. Or...
Right. So what you would have to respond to that is, at that point, you're putter from having to do the pula anymore. That's how you would explain it. So, but in the end of the day, it's a big machlokas, and that's what it's this discussion is totally on. Again, if you assume it's about the totsah, so then raising someone else's child, teaching someone else's child, would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah peruvu, of helping procreate and keeping from children in the world. And if it's about the pula, so then one cannot fulfill the mitzvah with someone else's child, of course. Yeah?
What if everyone's brought some Kabbalah, that even if it doesn't become a child, just the act alone.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Very good. Yeah, exactly. Very good. Excellent, Mati. So this is very relevant when it comes to a IVF. IVF, without getting into the details of it, it's in essence, of course, having children without a pu'ula, without a ma'isa tashmish. Is there going to be a fulfillment of the mitzvah peruvu through IVF? And there are many other halachas having to do with IVF. But we're going to focus just on this, whether there's a check mark of the key mitzvah of peruvu. Just to throw one out there, just some food for thought for you. There's a discussion in the Achronim. I'm not going to say who says what or what my feeling is, but some say that if a child born through IVF is born on Shabbos, so then the bris milah is not allowed to be docha Shabbos. The halacha is, it says, b'yom ha-shmini, the pasuk in Parshas Tazria, afilu b'Shabbos is the drasha. So if it's a natural birth, so then it's afilu b'Shabbos. If it's a C-section, the Gemara says, then it's not docha Shabbos. So what about a child created through IVF that's born on Shabbos? Is that allowed to have docha, the bris milah, the following Shabbos? So most say yes, that there is one opinion in one of my rebbeim who says it can't be docha Shabbos, but that's another discussion. So in terms of IVF, is one going to be docha? Rather, would one mekayim in the mitzvah of peruvu? There's a very interesting Gemara, and it's brought down by the Chelkas Mechokek. We know in Shulchan Aruch there are four sections of Shulchan Aruch. There's Choshen Mishpat, Dun Order Or Chaim, there's Yeredeia, there's Evan Ezer, there's Choshen Mishpat. On each Shulchan Aruch, there are different commentators, different mefarshim on each section of Shulchan Aruch. So, for example, Or Chaim has the Magen Avraham and the Taz. It comes to Yeredeia, they have the Shach and the Taz. When it comes to Evan Ezer, we have the Chelkas Mechokek and the Beis Shmuel. These are the two main Mefarshim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer. So the Chelkas Mechokek in number 3 asks the following suffix. He raises the following suffix. Yesh l'stapik isha shinis abra ba'ambati. If a woman becomes pregnant in a bath because a man was taking a bath beforehand and there was some zera left before from him who was there and she takes a bath afterwards, if that woman now becomes pregnant, imkaim ha'av peruvu. That's his question. Now, it sounds pretty crazy. It's a Gemara in Chagiga which actually discusses this. And apparently, scientifically, this is impossible to happen, they say. So how could the Gemara discuss something that's impossible? So there are many answers how science has changed, how things have changed. Or maybe the Gemara knew this concept of IVF, which is in essence what's going on here, where you could take a zera of a man and impregnate a woman, not through a tashmish. And so we could use this Gemara now as a model for this new technology that we have available to us in this time. So he doesn't know if one is becomes pregnant in this way, if you're Mekayim Peruvu. That's the question. If a woman's becoming pregnant without there being Tashmish, is there going to be a mitzvah of Peruvu? So while the Chelkas Mechokek isn't sure, the Beis Shmuel thinks that, look at the Beis Shmuel, he thinks there is a proof of a fulfillment of the mitzvah peruvu through this strange way of getting pregnant, which is in essence our case of IVF, that one is mekayim the mitzvah peruvu through IVF. So take a look at number 4. The Beis Shmuel says, Yesh lahavi raya, I can bring the proof from a smach, the Sefer Mitzvah Sakatan in the Bach, Isha is muzheres, she'al tishkav al sadin she'shachav alein ishacher. A woman should never have sleep on the same sheets that a man slept on beforehand. They always change the sheets when they come to be a guest. Why? Pentis aber mishivcha zera shalacher. Perhaps she becomes pregnant if there is some zera on the sheets. If she becomes pregnant from this, it's a gezera shema yisa achosom yaviv, because her child, she doesn't know who the husband is, who that man was beforehand, and it could create issues of mamzerim, and therefore she always makes sure she sleeps on clean sheets. So it says a chashash, that if she becomes pregnant from some other man's zera, even though there wasn't tashmish, that child would be an issue of marrying someone else. It's considered a half-sibling, let's say. So he says, just like we have that concern that that child becomes a child, a product of the mother and the father who we don't know, so too, he thinks, there would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of peruvu. One would get the mitzvah of peruvu, even if you don't know who the father is. I mean, no matter how a woman gets pregnant, there's a mitzvah peruvu from this case.
It's not the sperm of her husband. Exactly. It happens a lot today.
Exactly.
They get it from other people.
Correct. So this is a proof in the Beis Shmuel that one does get the mitzvah of peruvu, even through something like IVF.
Now they even get the egg from other people.
Correct.
Really?
So, yeah.
Isn't the mitzvah on the man? It's not the woman's mitzvah.
Correct. Right? The mitzvah, there is no obligation on the woman. It's only on the man.
So in this case, where she doesn't know who it is, she gets the mitzvah.
Exactly. Great point. So it's possible to say either that the husband, even though he doesn't know who the father, that father, I guess, gets the mitzvah, even though he doesn't know of it. Or you could say that even though women are not chayv in the mitzvah peruvu, it's possible she has a key mitzvah. She does have a mitzvah of having children if she fulfills it, though she doesn't have to. Just like a mitzvah asay, she's man grama. Women are pater from sitting in the sukkah. Women are pater from shaking the lulav. If they decide to, they want to, they can still get a key mitzvah. So perhaps he's talking about the key mitzvah, but I think it's a very, very good point. Okay, other areas we have where this concept of fulfilling peruvu outside of the typical way comes up in a couple of different examples. One, two of them we discussed last week, and I'll review it again for those who are not here, and even those who were here, it's always good to review. So if you we don't have this inside, but we discussed last week an interesting of Yosef Engel. Yosef Engel was found in Yivamos Daf Samech Gimel Amud Beis. He was talking about, last week we discussed Ben Azai, how Ben Azai didn't get married, and how he's not allowed to get married, if you have to have mitzvah of children, So how did he get the mitzvah peruvu if he didn't get married? So Rav Yosef Engel explained that he was able to fulfill the mitzvah peruvu through limud haTorah. How do you get peruvu for learning? So by us learning this morning, now we're all fulfilling mitzvah peruvu. It's great. So how? And Rav Yosef Engel, I think I probably mentioned last week, he was a chassid. He wasn't a rebbe, but he was a chassid. He was of the Kutzker family, and he's a brilliant mind in both Nigla and Nister. And this is not one of his pieces in Nister. He has some of those pieces of Kabbalah in the back of some of his farm that we have of his. We lost a lot of his farm in the war, but he does sometimes incorporate the deeper understanding of Kabbalah in his halacha pieces. But this, he's not. He's quoting a Tosas Arash here, actually, a Gemara and a Tosas Arash. So Yosef Engel says, there's a Gemara that tells us that the Gemara in Brachos Dav Mem Zayin Mebeis, that two people are sitting down, and Shabbos is sitting down, they can make a Zeman. We know that we need three people to make a Zeman. So if you and I are sitting down on Shabbos, so the Shabbos is a third person. So asks the Gemara, Shabbos is a Gavrahu? Shabbos is a person, we need three people. Shabbos isn't a Gavra. Oh, Gemara says, no, it really means two Tamidi Chachamim that are Mechadidin et Zed Zebalacha. Two Tamidi Chachamim are sitting and learning, and they're asking questions and going back and forth. And so then they're allowed to mute Starif. Where's the third person? So it says that Tosas Arash, one of the Rishonim, he says that Shnei Tamidi Chachamim HaMechadidin Zed Zebalacha, that they're sharpening each other and learning, B'socha Suda, during the course of a meal, Mitstarfin. They have a third person. Shehahalacha Chashuva Kishlishi. The halacha that their mechadesh is the third person, says the Rav Yosef Engel, Alma. We see from here that the halacha hamisaledes, that is given birth to, meis atamul chachim, is ketoldas gavra chashvina, like a person was given birth to. So that's how he says, Ben Azai, although he didn't get married, he fulfilled the mitzvah peruvu through being mechadesh halachas. So that's another way, that person learning, he also fulfills peruvu in a very, very different way than we've seen up until now. We also mentioned last week that there was a Noda Behuda. Noda Behuda in a Sefer on Drashos called Avos Tzion. I don't know the history. Probably would be fascinating to find out the history, but he goes on a bit of a rant here about people stealing other Chidushim. He probably had his Chidushim stolen by someone else, and someone tried reprinting that and taking credit for it. So he ends up saying that the Pasuk in Bereishis that says, Zeh Sefer told us Adam, this is the book of a Tolos Adam, it's Ayidei Sefer, Asher Chibar, by a person authoring a book, Miskayim Bo Lidori Doris. He's able to continue his life, Tolos Adam. He says, Zeh Sefer Tolos Adam, when a person Mechaber Sefer, that's a mitzvah peruvu. So we have now being Mechadesh Halachas, we have now writing Svarim are considered a mitzvah of peruvu. And those who want to see, it's very fascinating how he discusses this, how people steal other people's chidushim and reprint them. It's a fascinating discussion. I don't have the whole piece here, but he must have been struggling with something in those times. So now we have several applications of this mitzvah. Okay? We have teaching someone else's child, raising an orphan, learning Torah, writing svarim, IVF. Look at number 5 for another application of the mitzvah of peruvu. So Gemara in Becharos, it also appears in the Gemara Yevamos. The machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Ditmar, hayulo banim behiyoso oved kochavim. Let's say a person was a non-Jew, and he had children as a non-Jew. Vinizgayer, he converts, and he converts his children along with him. Are those children now that are Jewish, though they weren't born when he was Jewish, but now they're Jewish? Are they going to be considered his children? Does he get the mitzvah peruvu, or he has to start all over again and conceive children and give birth to children while being Jewish? So there's a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kayim Piru Rivya. He says one gets the mitzvah. Reish Lakish Amar Lo Kayim. One has not fulfilled the mitzvah. So why? What's the machlokas? So Rabbi Yochanan says Kayim, he gets the mitzvah. Ela Tohu V'Bar L'Shavas Yitzara. The whole reason why we have peruvu is to leshevis yitzara, to create a world. We don't want a lo to bara. We didn't create the world. Hashem didn't create the world for to, for chaos. We want to have a world that's settled. Leshevis yitzara, to create people in this world. So who cares how he gets it done? As long as there are children in this world that he converted with him, one has fulfilled the mitzvah. That's a Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish Amar Lo. Lokayim Pirya Rivya, because Gershin is Gayer, Kikotan Shinola Dami. When a person converts, it's a reset button. All his previous relationships are cut off, and his parents are no longer considered his parents anymore. In terms of the questions of Yerusha, would a child who converted, is he able to be Yorish, his father? Halacha is he's a Midiraisa, he doesn't, because it's a Katan, Kikatan Shinola Dami. There's no connection to the parent anymore. So says Reish Lakish, this parent cannot have credit anymore, take credit for this child. It's not his. Are they the same DNA? We don't care. Halachically, it's a brand new child. It's not your child anymore. And therefore, Reish Lakish says, one does not fulfill the mitzvah by being Megayer the entire family. But we passing like Rabbi Yochanan, that one is Megayer with the children. He does get the mitzvah because Rabbi Yochanan says, the whole Tafkid of Purvu is L'Shevet Yitzar, to create a world that's populated. It's about the Totsah, about the result, and you've accomplished that. Even though you weren't Jewish at the time, right now, though, you have children that converted with you. Yes, Shlomi, you had a question?
I'm saying, if we say that Lamed B'no Torah, he was Yaldo, so even if, you know, even though he's not literal, you know, even though it's a new creation, but he's still teaching the Torah.
Yeah, that's the point, exactly. If it's about the Totsah, so then that's Rabbi Yochanan's Shita, it's about the Totsah, which he's accomplished at. Exactly, that's the point.
No, but what about according to Reish Lakish, who says no, but what about if the father was involved in actually converting him, would he agree that teaching somebody Torah is like a new breed?
It's a great question. Because Reish Lakish we had before, he was actually the person who said, Kol Melamedes Ben Chavero, Kilu Asel. So we'd have to say Reish Lakish would probably assume that Kilu is not really Kilu. It's a nice thing, but you're not really getting accredited with that mitzvah approval. If you want to connect the two Reish Lakishes together. Yeah, very good. Justin, yeah.
Rabbi Yochanan adopting would also fall into
that? I would think, yeah, I'm not sure. I would think, to make things nice and smooth, I would like to think that. But I don't know what he holds by adopting. We don't have that position. The simple understanding was, if it's all about Totsah, so then everything would have fallen into that category. Even adopting, teaching a friend's child, it should all fit into that category. And if it's about Pa'ula, then none of this would count. That's how it would nicely work out. But I don't know. We don't have his Shita on this. To throw out something interesting, why not?
Yeah. I'm a gadol.
Yeah.
No, yeah. That question about adopting.
Yeah, what's the point?
It's like you gave birth then.
That's what we said, but we don't know if that kilu means as if you gave birth, if it's a really key, or it's just it's a good thing to do. It's not really if you give birth to it. So to raise another interesting question, what about, I know it's a little bit out there, but the Gemara discusses cases like this. A person created a person through Sefer Yetzira. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about how Amoraim would every Erev Shabbos would create a calf, every Erev Shabbos to have meat on Shabbos. They did. The Gemara says this. Sefer Yetzira, they would do this. So what if a person created a person through Sefer Yetzira? So I forgot to look this up. I believe it's a discussion in the post-game whether or not you could count that person as part of a minion or not. So I forgot where I saw this already, but it's a I'm pretty sure it's a discussion in the post-game. So if you can't count such a golem, that's created through Sefer Yetzira. The Maral quoted created through the Sefer Yetzira. He created a golem. So if you cannot count the person as a minion, as part of the minion, I would imagine you would not fulfill your mitzvah peruvu, I think. But if one does count a golem as part of the minion, then maybe it would count as the mitzvah peruvu. I don't know. And I'm not really sure. So, but this could be very, I don't know if it's the same thing, but I don't know. They're doing crazy things in science and technology. Who knows what they're going to do next? So Sefer Yetzira might be viewed as a very interesting model of other new ways of creating people in the coming years.
Why is that the criteria of counting for a minion? Because a person could be a chela shota koton and then kain pur ru, but then I counted for a minion.
It's a fair point. It's a very good point. It's true. I'm not sure, though, if it's necessarily the same, because the golem, the Sefer Yetzira, doesn't have a neshama, though. Different than the Chayav Shota and Katan.
So,
yeah, exactly. Okay. So cloning could be a case. So someone has, apparently, what they've created now in science is, I don't know what this even means, but they have created an artificial womb to make sheep. They've successfully created sheep through an artificial womb. I don't know what that means, so don't ask me questions on that. But that means they're not too far from making a human artificial womb, whatever that means, and they could create children through that. Is that the same as IVF? Is it the same as a Sefer Yetzira? I have no idea what this is. But there are going to be some interesting cases in the next few years probably about creating children in some wild ways, which may fall into the category of IVF or Sefer Yetzirah. Who really knows? So I'll raise one other possibility. I didn't see this discussed, but maybe another way that one can fulfill Peruvu. And just in light, I thought of this because last night I went to the renewal Malav Malka. Liwitz spoke about it here. And the Joshua, the idea of kidney donations and other organ donations. If a person saves, if you save a life by giving your kidney, would that be considered a way of Peruvu, saving a life in general? Let's say, forget donating a kidney. Let's say you're in Hatzalah and you save a life that way. You're Megadel, you raise a person, you save a person's life. Is that also considered Peruvu? I don't know. I didn't see it discussed. Just throwing it out, there are other ways to help bringing life. Or you're a doctor and you help save lives by being a doctor. Is that considered Peruvu? I don't know if it is or not. But just another way to help bring a life or continue a life in this world certainly is a good thing. We're not, but the question, are you going with the mitzvah Peruvu? I don't know. But interesting food for thought. Let's finish with one last piece, what Mati was referring to before. So number six, the final piece here, the Ber Maim Chaim. Ber Maim Chaim has this idea in Parshat Lecha. He also mentioned this in Parshat Bereishis. It could be possibly used as some level of nechama for those who are not zoch to have children. No one ever, unless one goes through that, no one knows what they feel, what they go through. So this may be, I don't know, I'm not telling anyone to ever show this to someone who struggles with this. But it's an interesting piece nonetheless. So take a look at number six, Ber Maim Chaim. O Yomar Alzeh Haderech, Ben Mesek Basi. So he's referring to Ben Mesek Basi, referring to Avram's Eved Eliezer. Kinoda Ma Sharmu Bim Farshim. It's known what's said, but the Mefarshim explained in the Pasuk, Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam, that this is the book of the Toldos, of the offspring, if you will, of Adam. This week, Parshas Toldos connects very nicely. Ki mitchila kodem chet ha'adam, before Adam and Chava sinned, hayalo Toldos Ruchnim. They had these spiritual offsprings. Bezeh Sefer Torah, in this Sefer Torah, lefaros l'rabos ba, in the Sefer Torah, they were able to produce spiritual beings, lemev ad nishmasim v'ruchin chadasim, to create neshamas, to create new spirits, bolamos el yonim, in the upper spheres, v'lo todos gashmim. They weren't creating physical children. Now, I don't know what this means, but this is the Ber Maim Chaim, quoting from the Svarim HaKadoshim, that they're creating very spiritual beings. V'azeh amru, that's what it means in the Medrash Tanchuma, toldosein shel tzadikin ma'isim tovim. There's another application. This person is Maisim Tovim. Person does a chesed. Person does something very nice. The Medrash says, that's also considered your toldos. That's also considered your children. Kizeh be'emes toldoseim l'mala b'ruchani b'mitzos p'ruya rivya b'divrei Torah. So this was a fulfillment of p'ruya rivya on a spiritual level. U'laholid b'zeh neshamos chadashos ba'almin d'ksufin k'nodet. To create these new spirits in the world, in a very hidden world that we don't understand. Vinosif lazeh, he adds further, hine ayin b'mashe pirashnu, see what I said in Parshat Bereishis, perish ha-pasuk, v'sarai eishes Avram lo yalda lo, Sarai did not have any children, we know, in the beginning. Ki lo yalda betolos gashmim, she didn't have physical children. Lios nikra zaro achrav al shemo, to be called after Avram's name, that they didn't have physical children. Aval toldos ruchnayim holida lemal, but they had spiritual children that were created above. So he says now, based on the Zohar, and the Rizal says this as well, Kino deshmikol zivug, which means any time husband and wife are together, tashmish, hakadosh, l'shem shemaim, with the right intentions, kishelo nola toldo when they're gashmis, when they're not zoche, to having a physical child, mito nase mizeh neshamos l'nafshos gerim. Those neshamos are turned into gerim. We know when the person becomes a ger, this is where I'm talking about how the neshama somehow changes. So where does neshamas come from? So what he's explaining here, based on the Arizal and in the Zohar, whenever a husband and wife come together, even though they're not zoche to having real children in this world, they're zoche to create neshamas that are up in a higher level, and those turn into gerim. So that's what it means. The nafshos gerim asher baretz v'zeh. That's what it means. Ves hanefesh asher asu b'charon, that they made in Charon, nafshos v'adei legerim lo gufnin ayin sham. They weren't creating physical children. They didn't have children yet. Referring to that they created the neshamos that were eventually went into the bodies of the gerim. So either way, there's some interesting topics here, whether it relates to IVF technology, or even in the world of a much deeper level. But Mir Tashem, we will continue these topics in the next coming weeks. Everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful week.